who are not always convicted. And I can tell you that there is ongoing litigation constantly to try to get reimbursement to indigent defendants in these cases for experts and for other individuals who are supposed to be appointed by the county to ensure a fair trial. These are denied all the time, these motions, and it's very difficult to get these experts appointed and the costs covered. So if we're going to start talking about the state paying for trials, then we should also start talking about a better way to fund the defense of those accused, because they're not always going to be found guilty. So they will occasionally be found acquitted, and we should be as committed fiscally and emotionally to protecting those individuals as well.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman Cox and members. Jim Lindbergh with the Friends Committee on Legislation of California. We concur with the remarks made by Mr. Lobacco in opposition.
Anyone have any questions of Senator Denham? Yes.
I guess consistent with what Senator Keogh said, I guess the two questions, Senator Denham, are: can we afford it? Because, as mentioned in the previous case about the Peterson trial, I remember when the discovery was made of the victims of that, it was actually in Contra Costa County when I was on the Board of Supervisors, and the concern was where it would be tried when it first happened because of where it might have. So I understand from a local government perspective the concern in those kind of high-profile cases, irregardless, about the cost pressure. So, having said that, can we afford it, and would we just shift cost pressures? And the second part is, and this may be more directed at the police officers' representatives, is there any evidence that by doing this it would inhibit these kind of attacks on police officers? Because I'm of the view that somebody who takes the life of anyone should be fully prosecuted, but on the other hand, somebody who takes the life of a police officer attacks the whole fabric of society and everyone that police officer tries to protect. So would passing this inhibit anyone from taking the life of a police officer? And of course, that's, I don't expect any kind of real definitive answer to that. But then the second question is, can we afford it? Because we're just going to move pressures around.
Mr. Chairman, members.
Who's the chair? I'm chair.
Oh, yeah. Madam Chair, members. just to answer, in terms of the cost or the impact of this bill, I don't have an answer on that. We do know that when it's gang-related, generally the big issue of going after a peace officer, like we're seeing down in the Inland Empire, is just it's the status and the notoriety of going to that and the public awareness of it. But I mean, we know that that's always attached. When it comes to killing a peace officer, then there's automatic notoriety. And when it's gang-related, that's a lot of times their issue.
But so would this
I'm sorry.
Would this legislation, Randy, inhibit those kind of activities in any way, do you think?
I don't think it's a fiscal issue when it's coming to the notoriety for a gang notoriety. I don't think it's this bill impacts that.
So to try to protect your members, this bill won't necessarily protect them any further in that instance?
In terms of actual protection of being shot at or tried to be killed, I don't think it impacts that. It simply just impacts them financially because obviously they lose an officer, and at the same time they lose money, so all the officers and all the public employees are impacted in that county.
Thank you.
The other question was just, can we afford it?
In the majority of these cases, it's paid for today. And under rural counties, the rural counties do get paid for. The larger counties are forced to absorb it. So this would actually expand it. We try to do a fair and equitable across the state, regardless of the size of the county. If you've got a cop killer, we ought to put every effort forward to making sure that the full investigation is done. And at the same time, if you're going to transfer the venue to another county, as in the case of Lacey Peterson, San Mateo should not have been on the hook for the cost of the investigation around the state or within the county of Stanislaus. So I think it's an issue of fairness. The majority of these cases do get paid for now. The problem is that they oftentimes will have to wait, get held up, fight the budgetary fight, and in this case we're saying if it's a law enforcement officer, if you have a cop killer on trial, that we ought to be sending the message to the rest of the state that this is a state obligation to protect our own.
Thank you, Senator Denham. Any other questions, members? Senator Onnestad, the chairman is out of the room very briefly. We've just heard Senator Denham's presentation and the pro and con testimony. Is there a motion on the bill? Thank you, Senator Onnestad. Call the roll, please.
The motion is passed as amended and we refer to the Committee on Public Safety. Senators Cox, Onnestad.
Aye.
Onnestad, aye. Kehoe?
No.
Kehoe, no. Desaulniers?
No.
Desaulniers, no. Price?
No.
Price, no.
We'll leave the roll open for Senator Cox.
Thank you, members.
And Senator Desaulniers, you're going to present?
Yep.
And that's the last bill. And then Senator Onnestad, Senator Cox left everything open for you to add on. So take care of it in a minute. All righty, this is SB 1445. Go right ahead, to Senator, whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Senator Keogh. This is my annual journey in masochism to try to get more funds and more coordination between state, regional, local governments when it comes to forward planning and land use. First of all, I'd like to say that I'm happy to work with a brilliant staff here in this committee and accept the amendments for SB 1445. This is very similar to a bill I carried last year with the same sponsor, and it's really two parts. One part is to better integrate planning between the Strategic Growth Council and the Planning Advisory and Assistance Council here at the state level, providing for more communication between affected departments here at the state level, and then adding representatives from regional governance that are local government folks to the Planning Advisory and Assistance Council so that they can interact with the Strategic Growth Council and all of their myriad requirements, and then giving the Planning and Assistance and Advisory Council more roles in terms of performing their functions. And then the second part of it is the more difficult part that was part of the veto message last year, and we've tried to attempt to address the issues the governor had on the bill last year. This goes to allowing for a fee on a vehicle license fee. In this iteration, it's a dollar. It would go statewide. Last year, we had it having regional bodies approve it at a larger dollar amount. There was some opposition, particularly from Sandag, because they thought it would be better, and the governor thought it would be better in his veto message that it would be statewide. So we've tried to address both the cost, bringing it down to a minimum level, and then having these funds be able to allow for the sponsor and the Council of Governments to better implement forward planning, particularly when it comes to SB 375 and the planning required in that historic piece of legislation. So with that, we're going to continue to work with the governor's office and see if there's a remedy in here, and we appreciate your support. And I've got Rusty Selax, the sponsor from the California Council of Governments, here to testify in favor.
You still running every day, Rusty?
I am.
Good for you.
You walking, Dave? You able to walk?
Go ahead, sir.
Get some exercise? Good to see you. Rusty Selax, California Association of Councils of Governments. Senator has correctly described this. We want to point out that this is state funding for a state-mandated program for the regional agencies. Councils of Governments are not eligible for state mandate reimbursement under the Board of Control, so only by the funding can they carry out this work. We also think that while I know there's controversy for a fee, the fact is this does meet the criteria for it, because this bill has the potential to significantly reduce the need for transportation projects and reduce vehicle trips and reduce congestion. Under traditional land use patterns, an average household would generate 10 vehicle trips per day. But if we can get the cities to work together towards these improved land use plans, you could reduce that to 6 or 7 by locating land uses in relation to one another. So the bill facilitates state and local government and regional agencies to partner together to produce better planning, which will produce better land use decisions, which will significantly reduce costs and more than justify the modest fee involved. For these reasons, we support the bill.
Thank you. All right, sir.
Michael Arnold, representing the Association of Bay Area Governments, here in strong support of the measure.
All right. Any questions of the any additional in favor?
Excuse me. Michael Endicott, Sierra Club, California, in support.
All right. Any questions of the committee? Any opposition? Come forward, sir.
Brian.
Hello, Senator.
It's okay. It's understandable.
Chairman Cox and committee members, Brian Moss with the California New Car Dealers Association. Our opposition is limited to the $1 increase in the vehicle registration fee. It's our view that the voters who are going to be assessed an additional fee should have the opportunity to make that decision. We've expressed that view to Senator DeSaulnier in last year's bill. The governor noted it in his veto message. And we're not opposed to the policy. We're opposed to the measure by which Senator DeSaulnier is proposing to pay for the policy change. And for that reason, we suggest that he make it subject to voter approval, and we'd remove our opposition.
Thank you. Any questions of the opposition? All right. Senator DeSaulnier, have you looked at the amendments that are being proposed by the staff?
Yes, and in my opening comments, Mr. Chairman, I accepted those.
I apologize, I was not here for those.
Quite
and you
all
accepted
right.
all of those?
Yes, sir.
For my clarification, were you accepting the technical amendments? Were you also accepting the suggestion to redirect funds away from COGS into cities and counties?
We'll accept them both.
And to assign the duties to OPR instead of the Planning Advisory Assistance Commission?
We're just going to take the technical amendments.
Just the technical amendments. Thank you.
But we're more than happy to continue that conversation.
All right. Okay. Go ahead.
The bill as amended.
All right. We will. Ms. Keough has moved the bill, but would you like to close, sir?
I would respectfully ask for your aye vote.
All right.
Chairman.
Call the roll, please.
The motion is due pass as amended, and we refer to the Committee on Transportation and Housing. Senators Cox?
No.
Cox? No. Onestad?
No.
Onestad? No. Kehoe?
Aye.
Kehoe? Aye. DeSaulnier?
Aye.
DeSaulnier? Aye. Price?
Aye.
Price? Aye. The bill is out.
Thank you very much. Thank you to the committee for your attendance and being here today.
Mr. Chairman, I missed the vote on item 4.
Well, we're going to lift the calls right now.
Thank you.
And we will begin by lifting the
file order.
Okay. Elva, it would be helpful for her if it were file order. So you go ahead, Elva, from that standpoint.
You're good on that. Okay, file item 1, SB 902, by Senator Ashburn. The motion is do pass. The current vote is 4-0. Senator Onestad?
Aye.
Onestad, aye. That bill is out.
Bill is out.
File item 2, SB 959, by Senator DeChaney. The motion is due pass as amended, and we refer to the Committee on Environmental Quality. Current vote is 4-0. Senator Onestad?
Aye.
Onestad, aye. That bill is out.
Bill is out.
File item 4, SB 1035, by Senator Hancock. The motion is due pass and refer to the Committee on Judiciary. The current vote is 3-0. Senator Onestad?
No.
Onestad, no. Kehoe?
Aye.
Kehoe, aye. That bill is out.
Bill is out.
File item 5, Senate Bill 1141, by Senator Negrete McLeod. The motion is due pass, and we refer to the Committee on Appropriations. The vote is 4-0. Senator Onestad?
No.
Onestad, no. The bill is out.
Bill is out.
I'm going to go to one, so I'm taking
okay. it. Thank you.
File
Thanks
item
very much.
6, Senate Bill 1205, by Senator Corbett. The motion is due pass as amended, and we refer to the Committee on Appropriations. Current vote is 3-1. Senator Onestad?
No.
Onestad, no.
Bill is out.
File item 7, Senate Bill 1207, by Senator Kehoe. The motion is due pass, and we refer to the Committee on Environmental Quality. Current vote is 3-1. Senator Onestad? Onestad, no. That bill is out.
That bill is out.
File item 8, Senate Bill 1240, by Senator Corbett. The motion is due pass as amended, and we refer to the Committee on Health. The current vote is 3-1. Senator Onestad? Onestad, no. That bill is out.
Bill is out.
File item 9, Senate Bill 1344, by Senator Kehoe. The motion is due pass, and we refer to the Committee on Banking, Finance, and Insurance. Current vote is 4-0. Senator Onestad?
Aye.
Onestad, aye. That bill is out.
Bill is out.
File item 10, Senate Bill 1356 by Senator Denham. The motion is do pass as amended and we refer to the Committee on Public Safety. Current vote is 1-3. Senator Cox?
Aye.
Cox, aye.
Bill fails. Granted,
grant reconsideration.
Reconsideration.
Okay. File item 14, AB 1451 by Assemblymember Amiano. The motion is do pass as amended. The current vote is 3-1. Senator Onestad?
No.
Onestad, no. That bill is out.
Bill is out.
And on the consent calendar, Senator Onestad?
Aye.
Onestad, aye. Consent calendar.
All right. Thanks very much for being here. Appreciate the staff's presence and expert attention. Thank you for your efforts, and this meeting is now adjourned.